Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, that's right, MD, right here on the show. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. With You're the Cure, of course, all archived programs go right to the website. So if you missed some, you can certainly find it there at veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. I'm freezing.
I know. It is cold. I mean,
12
it was,
degrees.
It's... Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, that's right, MD, right here on the show. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. With You're the Cure, of course, all archived programs go right to the website. So if you missed some, you can certainly find it there at veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. I'm freezing.
I know. It is cold. I mean,
12
it was,
degrees.
It went down.
Yeah, it's
when
crazy.
I was coming in, it was 18 this morning. Now it's at 13 degrees, 12
yeah.
degrees. I mean, high of 32, something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we'll get warmed up here on this show, I'm sure. We've got our first Mondays with Morley again, and...
Do you want to take a quick text before we get there?
You bet.
Of course, text line will be available at all times as well. I guess you could call in, too, because we got Morley on the back line. So if someone wanted to call into the show, they could certainly do so. 806-745-5800. But Jennifer text says, Dr. Edwards, my mother-in-law just had a bone density test and was told her bones are soft. She dances every morning for 30 minutes and eats spinach every day. But she's wondering what else she can do besides taking prescription medications with harsh side effects. Thank you for your response.
There are a number of things. I mean, you definitely want to eat a diet that's not pro-inflammatory. So the standard American diet needs to not be consumed if you want to have strong bones. You need to eat more of an ancestral diet, for sure. And you need minerals. Not just calcium. In fact, most people don't need calcium. They have enough calcium, but the calcium is being asked to leave the bone. So we need to quit asking the body to leach calcium out of the bone. So the body needs magnesium. Almost always in the osteoporotic patient, it's low magnesium. And these patients also need to... turn on the enzymes that tell the bones to be built, because the bones are constantly being built. New bone cells can be made if you have the instructions and the enzyme function to build these new bone cells. Bone cells are also being broken down all the time. Osteoblast, build bone, osteoclast, chew up the bone. And we've talked about it a number of times on the show. You need to have a balanced mineral profile to keep those two enzymes or those two cells working properly. You do need to be building some, but you also need to be chewing down the old stuff. The old worn out bone does need remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have both. And that's usually related to magnesium and copper and retinol, the three we always keep going back to. You've got to have retinol to load the copper in ceruloplasm. You need the ceruloplasm to move the iron out where it needs to be. So iron's not stuck inside the cells. And so it's the same basic answer. People probably get tired of hearing it.
Well, I think it needs to be repeated a lot. I mean, heck, I sit here with you every Monday, and sometimes I even need to get re-educated a little bit. And I'm glad Morley's on the phone with. I mean, but seriously, I need to hear that more and more. I mean.
Well, it is going to be some re-education today, because it was actually Melody, the health coach, who's not with us today, unfortunately, but she sent me a question a couple days ago, texted me in regards to Alzheimer's disease, and Dr. Bredesen and Dr. Amen, two pretty well-known, well-regarded doctors in the integrative realm who are helping to reverse Alzheimer's disease. But her question was regarding copper, because Dr. Bredesen in his book talks about how excess copper could actually be one of the culprits in driving the inflammation that causes Alzheimer's. So we're going to re-educate ourselves on that too, because we've talked about that before, but we talk about a lot of stuff and it does get a little confusing, especially when Morley gets on a roll with quoting all these different studies from going back to the 1920s. But back to the osteoporosis. Minerals are huge. Diet's huge. Movement, dancing is great. Weight-bearing exercise, when the muscles pull on the bone, that stimulates the bone to grow. So it sounds like she's doing that pretty well. And you could consider sometimes, depending on the patient, I would consider some bioidentical hormones. Estrogen can help build the bone. But typically, if you're going to have the right diet, the right lifestyle, keep the stress down, keep the movement up, and keep the minerals right, you will grow your bones. So taking calcium, again, not really the best way to go. Excess calcium in the body causes mineral dysregulation, mineral chaos. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that later in the show too. And at some point I'll bring one of these authors on. There's a couple that have written different articles and books about calcium, the calcium deception and lie and myth. And we really need to probably hammer that home, because that's been a, I'm not going to say misinformation, but not fully understood. And that's a problem with medicine, in my estimation, is we start to observe a few things and then we jump to some conclusions. Like, I think Dr. Bredesen is observing in his heavy metal testing that there's high copper on the test, on the heavy metal test. So he observes that. And then he jumps to the conclusion that this excess copper is the problem, and it's causing all the damage, causing Alzheimer's. We've got to be very careful when we observe stuff. That's great. That's observation. But then we really have to pause before we jump to a conclusion. We need to know the ins and outs of the physiology of the body and the biochemistry of the body, and that's where we tend to mess up. So we need to dive into that more, because this is a topic I know near and dear to Morley's heart. And here's a problem with Morley is he's been studying this stuff ad nauseum for 10 years plus, deeply diving into the literature. I would dare say deeper than any other mentor of mine, any professor I've had, any at these conferences I go to, these other doctors, like the aforementioned Dr. Amon, Dr. Bredesen. They're awesome, they're great, Dr. Bredesen's in academic medicine even. But to really dive into the depth and breadth of the physiology and the mineral status and what copper's actually needed for in the body, I really don't hear anyone diving into it as deeply and having the deepest understanding like Morley does. So it's our first Monday with Morley time. Morley, welcome to the show. You're not too fired up with
I've learned to contain myself.
Yeah.
No, I thought you gave a masterful explanation for the osteoporosis issue. I think people, the first thing you pointed out was avoid an inflammatory diet. Well, guess what calcium does? When you increase calcium, you by physiology force the body into an inflammatory state, because it's going to force less absorption of magnesium. So I think that's the tragedy of the whole crisis with bone loss. Is people don't understand the very recommendation of vitamin D and calcium throws people into an inflammatory state.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's a key point. Magnesium is you can think of it as the anti-inflammatory mineral. And magnesium deficiency is what allows inflammation to be triggered.
And what's important for people to understand is that hydrogen peroxide which is an oxidant. So what's an oxidant? It's an accident with oxygen. Well, hydrogen peroxide is neutralized by retinol. Hydrogen peroxide is neutralized by two key copper-dependent enzymes, catalase and glutathione peroxidase. So magnesium and copper and retinol are the big three, just as you pointed out, and people don't realize that 46% of the copper in their body is in their bone marrow. That's where the biggest concentration of copper is in the human body. 1% in the blood, and 95% of that's supposed to be complexed with our friend ceruloplasm. That's where all the confusion is about, quote, copper toxicity, is they're not understanding the distribution of copper in the body and how critical copper is in the bone marrow to guide the production of new red blood cells that requires iron. It's not that iron's not the bad guy. It's just not being regulated and managed properly.
Yeah, got to be chaperoned. So I think this osteoporosis thing is a great example of the observation. We do these bone density scans, and we observe that the bones are thin. I mean, you can see it on these x-rays. A nice, dense bone is white on x-ray. I mean, a layman could pick this up. An osteoporotic bone looks black. It's full of air. It's not very dense. So, I mean, you see the outline of the bone. There's some white there. But overall, when you put them side by side, you'll see on an x-ray a lot of black, which represents air. On an x-ray. So we observe that. Oh, wow, it looks like calcium's not where it needs to be. It's not in the bone. These bones are thin and brittle, and they're going to break because of lack of calcium. It seems like a very obvious observation, and then we jump to that conclusion, let's just feed ourselves more calcium. But I would encourage patients or listeners who maybe have osteoporosis, look on your blood panel that your doctor draws. Your calcium's always normal. You've got the calcium's in the body. It's in the blood. It's in the body. When it's not in the bone, it's because there's a process that's been disrupted. I mean, I've had three different kiddos with broken bones, and the body knows exactly how to build a bone. There's processes in place, instructions in our DNA, and then enzymes that carry out those instructions, and these enzymes knit things together and build things, not just bone, but enzymes build everything in our body, and the enzymes run off minerals. And when you put inputs into your body that disrupt your enzymes, those are your workhorses. Those are the factory workers. Imagine a huge factory that's just full of all these workers that are putting all the parts together to give you the end product, to give you your automobile or your computer or your iPhone, whatever the warehouse is producing. The enzymes do the work. So when you see that thin bone on the x-ray, you need to automatically think not just, oh, calcium's not there, but why is it not there? What happens to the enzymes that should be building, taking the calcium that is in your body and putting it in the bone and building it? So it's really all about this enzyme function, which is why we go back to copper, mag, and retinol. So, Morley, let's... I think we have to address this thing head on with the question that Melody sent me, and she was watching a YouTube video of Dr. Bredesen and Dr. Amen Clinics, and these guys are doing great work. Let me just say this, 99 is what I was telling Morley earlier when I had to calm him down a little bit after that question. Is
nice.
I would say 100% of the neurologists in Lubbock, and I may not, maybe I could be off, but I haven't met or heard of any, but I'd say 99.9% of all neurologists in the country, but definitely in Lubbock, in Dallas, in Amarillo, in Albuquerque, in this region, but really across the country, are looking at Alzheimer's disease as genetic disease, as a disease of amyloid plaque, these little plaques that build up in the body, so therefore we need to, I read the other day, they're making a vaccine against amyloids, amyloid plaque.
Gosh.
So we're trying to find drugs and vaccines and things to attack the amyloid plaque buildup in the brain that, again, is observed. It's observational. We see in Alzheimer's patients, we observe there's these plaque buildups in the brain. So let's attack that plaque and therefore maybe the disease will go away. And it turns out that's not the case. It doesn't work that way. The plaque is a consequence, just like the plaque that builds up on your teeth or in your arteries, of your coronary arteries. It's a consequence. It's a end product of this inflammatory cascade that starts with this mineral dysregulation. But back to Alzheimer's. So most neurologists in the country are stuck on it's genetic and let's wait for a drug, but unfortunately none of these drugs work. That's pretty well accepted by everybody. So Dr. Amen, who's a psychiatrist, Dr. Bredesen, they're focused on the brain, obviously, but specifically Alzheimer's. And they've gone to the next level. What we've described as, in my medical journey, my education, I was Dr. Ben Edwards 1.0 coming out of UT Houston. And then, you know, after 7 or 8 years of private practice, I got introduced to integrative medicine and nutrition and supplements and vitamins and all these things and stress and movement and hydration and diet and lifestyle, basically. And it was awesome. This whole new world that I didn't learn in med school called integrative medicine, where you integrate nutrition and you integrate lifestyle modifications and you see amazing results. You see improvements that I never saw in conventional medicine. So we've termed myself Dr. Ben Edwards 2.0. For a few years there, camped out on all these different integrative techniques. And that's where Dr. Bredesen's at and Dr. Amen's at. They're all about diet and lifestyle, and they're all about inflammation being at the root of Alzheimer's, not genetics. And if you can bring down your insulin by not eating carbs and sugar so much, if you could supplement with a few different anti-inflammatory supplements like a fish oil, curcumin, some of these anti-inflammatories, that can show improvement. If you can remove from your life different toxins, Dr. Bredesen talks about mercury from the silver fillings in the mouth. If you can bring down your toxic burden, that shows improvement in brain function. So he's published reversal of Alzheimer's. Now, most neurologists, if you ask them in America, they would laugh at that and say, nobody's reversing Alzheimer's. No one's showing improvement in Alzheimer's. So these guys are cutting edge, so to speak, in that integrative realm and doing great work and seeing some improvement. But there's more to it. The Ben Edwards 2.0 that we've talked about, there's something even deeper underlying inflammation. Yes, there's inflammation in the brain of an Alzheimer's patient, but why? Yes, there's not calcium in the bones of an osteoporotic, but why? Why is there inflammation? Why is calcium being leached? You just got to go deeper. And we've got to get past just this simple observation, which again is where Melody's question basically was that Dr. Bredesen said high copper can cause inflammation in the brain leading to Alzheimer's. And I think I'll need to get Dr. Bredesen on the show and ask him, but I think he is seeing that from a heavy metal test. I know they're doing heavy metal tests, Quicksilver, Doctor's Data, probably some other ones. So I'm sure on the heavy metal test it's high. And he's observed it, and now he's correlated that and saying, okay, that's the cause. Well, wait a minute. There's more to the story. So let's dive deeper, Morley, into this. My first thought when Melody sent me that question was, wait a minute, there was more copper in the diet 100 years ago when people were eating organ meats and when the ground was not raped with this modern farming technique. So we had more copper in our vegetables even. So if we had more copper 100 years ago dietarily and we didn't have Alzheimer's, and now it's the third leading cause of death in America, number one cause of death in the UK. So we've had this huge uptick in Alzheimer's, but we're eating less copper. So that's number one question mark. That doesn't make sense. But then number two, and Melody mentioned it on her text, and I give her credit for this. She said, maybe he doesn't, I forget what exactly how she worded it, but maybe she said, bioavailable copper. Maybe that's the issue. Right. Maybe what he's seeing is just free copper, not bioavailable, which was a great point by Melody, that copper can't just be running around like a loose cannon. It has to be plugged in to this enzyme in the body. Remember, the enzymes, guys, are the workers in the factory. So these enzymes have to have minerals to work right. So copper has to plug in to an enzyme, called ferrooxidase, aka ceruloplasmin. And so now it's connected. It's connected to this worker, the enzyme. Now that enzyme can do what it's supposed to do. And Morley sent me a couple articles. We'll have to read the last sentence of the one article, Morley. And this was Parkinson's disease, but all the neurodegenerative, including Alzheimer's. So here's the last sentence of this abstract that Morley just sent this morning. Our findings suggest that cupro-enzyme deficiency, cupro-enzyme means copper enzymes. Enzymes are the factory workers. Copper's the mineral that helps them work right. Our findings suggest that copper enzyme deficiency, which is typical for Parkinson's disease, can be caused by violation of metabolic incorporation of the labile copper atoms into ceruloplasmin molecule. Translation is the violation of metabolic incorporation of labile copper. That's saying this free copper that's just running around the body has not been able to be incorporated into ceruloplasmin, the ferrooxidase enzyme. So it just lays it out clearly right there. There's free copper. That's a problem. If it can't be loaded into the enzyme for it to do its work, there's the issue. It's like I've got a set of car keys hanging on the hook at my house. It's got to go into the car, into the ignition, and be turned on so that car can function. That key just sitting on the wall is not doing its job. And if you get a whole bunch of keys sitting on the wall, not plugged in the right way, there's going to be consequences to that. So, Morley, I'll let you blow you a little bit about this copper thing. Free copper, labile copper, yeah. I'll say free copper versus copper that's plugged in to the enzyme so it can work. It can do its job. It can move iron out of the substantia nigra, which is in another article you sent. We've got to get iron moved out of the brain or else it'll cause all this trouble. So your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, so let's start with some basic facts. So for every atom of copper in the body, there's 60 atoms of iron. And there are only two metals that can interact with oxygen, copper and iron. Well, iron carries oxygen, and copper activates it so it can make energy, or deactivates it so it stops making free radicals. So they're very different properties of copper and iron. Then what people need to understand is that that iron has a relationship with both sugar and vitamin D. And I wouldn't call them a healthy relationship, that when you add sugar to the diet, it increases the absorption of iron. When you add vitamin D to the diet, it increases the storage of iron. Again, the body runs on iron circulation, not iron storage. Then copper has a relationship with the antagonist to sugar and vitamin D, and those would be fat and vitamin A, retinol. So you can't absorb copper unless you have fat in your diet. And you can't mobilize and activate copper unless you have retinol. And to your point about copper needing to be complexed, think of copper as a wild horse. And wild horses are beautiful to watch, but they're no good to a farmer who has to get work done. And so what does a cowboy do? They harness the horse. First thing they do. And then they're going to attach it to a plow, or they're going to attach it to a truck or some kind of wagon, or they're going to attach it to, they're going to put a saddle on it so they can ride it, or they're going to attach it to a surrey to have some fun with it. But the thing is, horses are amazing, and they have incredible horsepower, but they've got to be harnessed. And that's exactly what copper needs inside the body. It needs to be harnessed by the enzyme ceruloplasmin. And that protein, ceruloplasmin, does at least 15 different jobs that I've identified now. Again, I was tipped off by a couple articles. The point is, it's probably one of the most important proteins in the body that no one's ever heard of, and certainly not your doctor, which is part of the mystery.
So when you see a high copper on, say, a hair mineral test, or if you saw it on some sort of heavy metal test, which I believe quicksilver is what Dr. Bredesen uses, and it's a combination of hair, urine, and I believe blood. Mm-hmm. But anyways, right. On any of these heavy metal tests, when you see that, what comes to your mind?
Right away, I know that the ceruloplasmin protein or some other copper enzyme that you referred to has been breached, has been violated. And what's distinctive about the copper enzymes is they don't just have one copper, they typically have four, five, or six. And so there's multiple components of copper in these enzymes, which make them very unique in the body, because there are very few other enzymes that have multiple minerals running them. And so the enzyme to run the mitochondria has at least three coppers. The enzyme to run tyrosinase has four coppers. The enzyme to run, ferrooxidase has six coppers. It used to have eight. We won't talk about where two of them got lost. I have no idea. But the point is, these are incredibly complicated proteins that are very important. And then we continue with our facts. So we've got this relationship between iron, sugar, and vitamin D. What are we doing there? Well, we're fortifying with iron, we're adding sugar, and everyone's they're drowning themselves in vitamin D. And what's happening on the copper side? Well, copper is the number one nutrient deficiency on a farm. So that means that soil, plants, and animals aren't getting the copper that they need. We're living a low-fat diet, and most people are afraid of eating cholesterol for fear of heart disease. Well, where there's cholesterol, there's retinol. And so we have a nation of people who are being blocked from copper, fat, and retinol, and they're being drowned in iron, sugar, and vitamin D.
Okay.
Well, the body doesn't work that way. It can't have that kind of violent imbalance between these two components.
So retinol is needed to load the copper into the enzyme so that it can function. And if you don't have retinol in your diet, then copper can't get loaded into the enzyme to do its work. Retinol is found in cod liver oil, but in a high animal fat type of diet that ancestrally we have eaten, and we have stopped eating the last 50 years since we were told to be low fat. So that's part of the problem. You don't have enough retinol to load your copper, so now you've got free copper running around, and it'll show up on those tests that Dr. Bredesen's running. And, of course, the other things Morley mentioned, the high iron, the vitamin D supplementation, which that's another observational study or observation, I would say. We see a low vitamin D. We observe this in all these sick patients. We assume that's the cause. It's not. It's a consequence. Vitamin D goes down when you're inflamed. So we've loaded people up with D. We load people up with iron. And then sugar and high fructose corn syrup in particular, all that prevents copper from functioning like it's supposed to. We've got two texts, Morley. Before the break.
Joni wants to know from Morley is consuming olive oil, would that work? And if so, how much olive oil on the retinol?
Well, unfortunately, there's no retinol in olive oil.
Okay.
It's a very popular cooking oil, but there's no retinol there.
It has its own benefits. Olive oil is good.
Absolutely.
Don't avoid it, but you need more than that to get retinol.
Okay. And she also said, is there anything, including the root cause protocol for someone who's showing signs of Alzheimer's, right?
Yes, exactly what we're talking about. You need to get your retinol up. You need copper in your diet, but not only in your diet, you got to load it into the enzyme, ferrooxidase or ceruloplasmin, and retinol does that. So cod liver oil has retinol.
But not olive oil.
Right. Olive oil, eat it for other great benefits, but get your cod liver oil, grass-fed beef liver, organ meats in general from lamb or...
Can it come from nuts? Can you get some of it out of nuts?
No, it's retinol animals. Is really coming from animals.
Oh, okay.
So eggs, pasture-raised eggs, grass-fed beef, but the organ meats in particular would be great because there's copper and B vitamins in there too, so you get more bang for your buck in the organ meats.
All right. Good stuff.
You know, the thing is, I think people, especially folks certainly in their 60s and 70s, and 80s in this country have been exposed to toxic levels of iron in their diet that they never realized was a problem. They just assumed that iron fortification was to their benefit, not knowing that it was causing iron oxidation in their body. And so I think in addition to the root cause protocol, I think people need to be really focused on a regular program of blood donations mm-hmm. to release that iron that's been building up in their body, especially in a man's body. I mean, we're magnets for iron from the time we're 21 to the time we hit the grave. But women obviously have an advantage, which is one of the reasons why they live longer, but they have a monthly blood loss. But when their menopause kicks in, they too need to join their brethren at the blood centers. And the studies are very compelling that the blood donors live longer and have less heart disease than the non-donors. Study after study after study has proven that.
Yeah.
So people need to go through this regular process of releasing that excess iron that's built up in their tissue.
Yeah, so I want to drive that point home, guys, if you didn't hear that. Iron's been added to the foods, mainly the grain, mainly wheat flour, since the 40s. Enriched white flour, it's enriched with iron and other synthetic vitamins. Because when they process that wheat, they strip out all the nutrition. I mean, especially the oil, because you can't have oily flour. It goes rancid in a few days. So they had to strip all that out, became just bleached white flour, has no nutritional value. So they put some vitamins back into it so people would quit dying when all they were eating was this enriched white flour, or excuse me, non-enriched, just plain old bleached flour. But the iron's been added to the flour, and it's in everything. It's added to baby formula, and we recycle that iron very, very well. So once it's in you, it's in you. And like Morley said, if you're not bleeding every month and you're holding on to it, even if this was 20, 30, 40 years ago, even if you've been eating good for 2 years, that iron's still stuck in you. So you need to donate that blood. You need to eat retinol, which is the animal-based forms of vitamin A. You need to get copper in the diet. That's mainly whole food vitamin C and organ meats. But you've got to quit doing the things that prevent the copper from being loaded into ceruloplasm, the enzyme that does all this amazing work. It's the decathlete we talked about a few shows ago. So we got to take a break, Morley, but when we come back, I want to talk more out, because I really want people to really avoid the things that block that copper from being loaded into the enzyme. Yeah. And I want to really hit high fructose corn syrup. I gave a couple of talks the past few weeks to some different schools, school children. I always talk about God food versus man food. And I brought examples of man food. And it amazed me. I mean, I knew this because I'd done this before, but I'd really looked hard again at the high fructose corn syrup that's in everything. And the number one
bread.
The number one or number two ingredient in everything that I brought was high fructose corn syrup. And you correlate that with these farmers we've talked to the past few shows and the subsidies for corn. Oh, it just...
Insane.
So we're going to talk about what is that high fructose corn syrup doing in the body to disrupt your mineral status. Was there another one?
Yeah, just real quick, blood donation and the frequency.
I would do it as often as the blood bank would allow you to do it, which here, United Blood Bank is every 60 days.
Every 60 days. Oh,
yeah. Wow. And if you get too low, you start to get your hemoglobin starts to get too low from too frequent a donation, they'll just tell you that because they'll check your hemoglobin, which is your marker for anemia. They'll check that before you're allowed to donate. So, I mean, as long as that's staying in a good range, just go donate as often as you can.
All right. Yeah. We'll take the quick break. We'll come right back. Stick around. We got plenty to go right here on You're the Cure. Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Archived programs, a lot of information about Veritas Medical right there at the website. On the show with us today, Morley Robbins. Not Marty Robbins, Morley.
You're going to have to get some Marty
in
Robbins.
In the town
tunes.
Of El Paso.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I love it. Talking about the root cause protocol, of course. Real quick, we have a couple of texts coming in here. Well, one was right before during the break, and it was set that the question was, well, if you're donating blood every 56 days, one needs to ensure mineral status is excellent before doing that. So Morley, you can address that. And also, one to Dr. Ben says, Dr. Ben, do you have a podcast or a video that addresses Parkinson's?
I don't think I have a video or I mean the podcast we've done with Morley, we did talk about neurodegenerative disease a few shows back. They could go back in the archives and look. And that's probably the best one to point them to. And the other text on the minerals, and Morley, you can definitely speak to this, but yes, you need to be remineralized well. You need to be eating your salt, real salt, not table salt.
Himalayan or something.
Yeah, Celtic, real salt, various sea salts. And, you know, working on the basic dietary things that we've talked about, you don't want to be eating stuff that's going to rob your minerals. You want to eat stuff that's going to encourage your minerals to be put into the body properly.
Now, the thing for people, to understand is that blood is red, but when you put it in a centrifuge and spin it down, it separates into two colors. You have what are called packed red blood cells, so that's solid red, and then you have a kind of a almost a creamy liquid on top of it, which is called plasma. Sometimes it's called serum, but let's call it plasma for now. And that plasma, that off-white fluid, is supposed to have the mineral composition of seawater. But what's important for people to understand is that there's three parts magnesium, but one part of calcium in seawater. And the average American diet today, at least this was a study back in 2012, so it's a little old, it was five parts calcium to one part magnesium. So our seawater that holds our red blood cells needs to have the same consistency and mineral composition of the seawater. And that's a very important point that someone's raising. And I tend to be a little more conservative about the frequency. When I first discovered I had I called it high ferritin. It was only in the 200s. I've got people in the thousands.
I had a patient last week, 1,100 on his ferritin.
Yeah, well, when I found out mine was like 260-something, I donated every 60 days, just like you suggested, and I did that for a year. And the interesting byproduct of that discipline was, for the first time in my life, my bilirubin was normal. Then only to discover that the bilirubin was tied to too much iron in my system.
And bilirubin's coming out of the liver typically, guys, if y'all don't know that. Can be a marker of liver inflammation. And a lot of people have a little bit of elevated bilirubin for a long time, and no one ever knows what it's coming from. And oftentimes it's the excess iron.
Yeah, it was from day one. I've always had high bilirubin. Now I don't, because I regularly donate. But I usually put people on a quarterly schedule, unless we're starting the process, and then I think the 60-day schedule makes sense.
Okay. Well, I've got to comment on this, and then we'll move on to something else. But we've interviewed all these farmers lately about, you know, these regenerative farmers trying to get the dirt turned back to soil and have the microbial life back in the soil so that the minerals can get back in our vegetables.
Right.
And, you know, the conventional farmers always throw out this argument of, we got to feed the world. And dirt to soil, Gabe Brown, he didn't say this on air. He was talking to me later at a later conversation, and I'm going to misquote this, but basically he laughs at that feed the world thing, because he quoted some study. It was like 10 billion pounds of food was thrown away, or some crazy number amount of food that was thrown away. So we're growing excess food. But the funny part, what we're subsidizing is corn. Some others, but this corn, and as I was giving the talk to the fourth graders and the kindergartners, and I brought some Pop-Tarts, and I read the ingredient label.
No.
Here's the ingredient label on Pop-Tarts.
But it tastes so good.
Enriched flour. Enriched with what? Reduced iron. This is on the ingredient label of Pop-Tart. Reduced iron. And we already know wheat flour, modern wheat, not God's wheat, but modern wheat turns into sugar very, very, very rapidly. So that's number one ingredient. Number two ingredient, corn syrup. Number three ingredient, high fructose corn syrup. Number four ingredient, dextrose, another form of sugar.
Oh, my God.
Fifth ingredient, soybean oil. Sixth ingredient, sugar. Seventh ingredient, bleached wheat flour. There's the bleached wheat flour, not the enriched. So there's your top seven ingredients. Was either wheat that turns into sugar that has iron in it, or some form of corn syrup. That's Pop-Tart.
It's time for confession. That's what I lived on when I was in school.
All right.
I swear to God, really. It's like I've made all those mistakes, and I understand that it's very easy to get lulled into that diet because it just as Wade said, it's really yummy, and it is.
Yeah.
It's like those ingredients are that's a soup of toxins.
Well, it hits your opioid receptors and addicts you. So you get on it, you have to have it.
Right, that's right.
Here's the next one. Hershey's chocolate syrup, first ingredient. First ingredient, high fructose corn syrup. Second ingredient, corn syrup. Then there's water, then there's cocoa. Now, interesting thing, I grabbed the next bottle over. It was Reese's hard shell chocolate sauce for the ice cream. The hard shell actually isn't that bad. It was palm oil, cocoa, and I mean, it had a little sugar, but not a ton. I was amazed. It was almost
so you
could have fit into my category of healthy. Cocoa, palm oil. So definitely go for the hard shell is the message there. But let me go. Of course, everyone knows Coca-Cola. That's a no-brainer. It's high fructose corn syrup on the ingredient label. Infamil.
It's also the pH is really bad.
Yes, very acidic. Infamil, first ingredient, corn syrup solids. That's baby formula.
Oh, wow, really?
Here's ragu, spaghetti sauce, tomato purees, number one, vegetable oils, number two. So the high fructose corn syrup came in at number three.
Wow.
But it's in the spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to waste our time, but the point is, the standard American diet's full of this subsidized farm product, corn syrup. Morley, what's that doing to our mineral status? What's that doing to copper, retinol, ceruloplasm?
It's just wiping them out. It's dysregulating them. You've got the sugar, and while it tastes sweet, it's got to get processed. And it's going to consume magnesium and potassium to do that. It's going to chew up a lot of activity to break all of that down. You know, the funny thing is that people have certainly heard of like geritol. You know, you got iron poor blood. What people don't know is that they were actually sued to stop those ads. What I find, I was always curious, I wonder who brought the suit. This is fascinating because it gets back to the ingredients that you just listed. Your instinct would be that the Food and Drug Administration would have been the entity that would have brought suit against geritol for misleading ads that the people need more iron, which was an absolute lie. And it turns out it was the FTC. The Federal Trade Commission is who brought lawsuit and stopped those ads. The Food and Drug Administration looked the other way, just as they're looking the other way with this processed food industry that's been created. That's where the problem is, right there. Those foods should not even be allowed to be made.
Yeah,
but we look the other way.
It's a travesty, and then our kids are just consuming these. I mean, Alzheimer's disease should be a very rare disease. Autism should be very, very rare. Heart disease should be rare. Cancer should be rare. All of these are not rare anymore, and we're giving ourselves this disease. You want to talk about like kids giving themselves some kind of germ or something? They go lick the handlebar of the grocery cart at the store, and you say, "Don't do that! You're going to give yourself a cold." We're giving ourselves chronic disease with the way we're eating this processed food-like substances. I mean, that Infamil, that baby formula. Yeah. It's not just Infamil, guys. It's all of them. I've looked at all the baby formulas.
The tragedy with the formulas is mother's breast milk has no iron, and mother's breast milk has no vitamin D because that's the way Mother Nature wants it.
Exactly.
And what is it? What do the formula makers do? They add iron and vitamin D, which is absolutely toxic.
Yep. And a third of that baby's blood is still in the placenta at time of delivery. When that baby's out, and we should delay the cord cutting to allow that blood and iron that they do need back into the baby. Delayed cord cutting. But what does man do? We get in there and think we know better, and let's cut that cord within 5 seconds of that baby being birthed, which is one of the reasons midwives get better outcomes than most hospitals births.
So let's salt our next conversation, because I think people are going to be fascinated with this. But everyone knows about gut dysbiosis. Imbalance of gut flora, leaky gut. And so everyone is very, I think that's in the consciousness of America. The real epicenter for all of this conflict around iron recycling is taking place in what's called the stomach of the cell, especially the stomach of the macrophages who are involved in iron recycling. And the iron is getting stuck in the stomach. And when it gets stuck in there, that's when chaos starts. Because the macrophage that's full of iron, it can't get it out of its stomach, affects the function of the nucleus and the mitochondria. Because there's a very direct relationship between lysosome, nucleus, and mitochondria. That might be a fascinating discussion for our conversation in April.
So lysosomes inside a cell, that's a little tiny pouch, a little tiny stomach, and when iron gets stuck in it, it drives all the oxidative stress in the cell.
And let's bring it home. This is where the conflict is. Doctors are using ferritin to measure iron status, which you and I have talked about. That's probably not the best marker to use. And it turns out that the leading research about how to unload iron from ferritin, there's a necessary process that the ferritin needs to be broken down in that stomach, that lysosome, in order to release the iron for the recycling. And I don't think doctors know that.
No, we don't.
And they think that ferritin comes out of the cell, out of the macrophage, you know, with a sweet little bow on it, and everything's nice. And it's like, no, it's got to, first of all, it's got to get into that lysosome, then it's got to be broken down, and then that iron needs to be chaperoned very carefully out of the lysosome. That's where the breakdown is, and it's called lysosomal storage disorder, LSD. That's the very, if we want to get down to the epicenter of the epicenter, that's where the crisis is inside the macrophage.
And guys, remember the macrophage is the Pac-Man of the human body. It's going to chew up all the bad debris, all the bad bugs, but it also chews up your red blood cells because red blood cells, you know, need to be recycled. They live about anywhere from 60, 90, 120 days, but then they die. They have to be gobbled up and recycled, and it's a macrophage or the Pac-Man that gobbles that up. So a macrophage is going to be full of iron because red blood cells are full of iron because that's what carries your oxygen around the body. So if a macrophage, a Pac-Man, is just plumped up full of iron and can't properly move it through to recycle it the right way, it's going to cause all kinds of chaos.
And this is happening. It's also happening in the brain. This isn't just happening. People think of, they're like, what's a macrophage? Well, they're all over the body.
Yeah.
But they're called glial cells in the brain. And the glial cells need to do this exact same process of recycling the iron. That is a major contributing factor for this neurodegeneration.
And you can't...
Gut dysbiosis in the cell is what's killing us.
You can't recycle like that without the copper being loaded into that enzyme. If you have free copper just floating around and it can't load, and remember retinol has to do the loading, and retinol's from your cod liver oil, your grass-fed beef, your eggs, the animal-based fats. So that's why we all this just keeps coming back, and it all works beautifully together, and it all gets blown up. All the retinol, the copper, the magnesium, it's all blown up by our modern diet and our modern supplementation of calcium and vitamin D, synthetic vitamin D. So no wonder we're so sick and getting sicker. Alzheimer's rates are climbing despite the great work that Bredesen is now doing and Amen, and that's going to push back some, but now we got to go deeper. We got to go to 2.0, it's not just copper's a bad guy. It's free copper isn't doing its job. Why is it free? It's not loaded in the enzyme. So that's what we have to keep diving down deeper to.
How did copper get outside of its enzymes? That's what people need to be asking.
One last little thing you mentioned during the break, and then we have a quick text too, so we'll do this real quick. Morley, zinc. You mentioned something about zinc during the break. Just share that with the listeners. Because a lot of these integrative doctors will recommend zinc to try to deal with that copper. They'll say take some extra zinc.
Yeah, the zinc is a problem because, again, people have been led to believe that zinc is your friend, everything's cool, and the dynamic is really between copper and iron. This connection between copper and zinc was brainchild of some practitioners back in the 60s. But the problem with zinc is that it causes the copper to be bound up because it activates a key protein called metallothionein. So the copper then becomes bound up in a very bad way inside the cell. But what I just learned recently is that that zinc isn't excreted from the body. And what is the zinc doing? It's affecting what's called APP, the amyloid precursor protein, and it's that protein has ferrooxidase enzyme function. And this is the research of Dr. Duce, D-U-C-E, from 2010. And the zinc that people are taking to try to offset this quote-unquote free copper, this labile copper, is actually causing the amyloid plaque, because when the APP interacts with the zinc, it turns into plaque. And then we've got a crisis on our hands. And so the very process of taking the zinc to try to stop the Alzheimer's is accelerating it, yeah. Which is mind-numbing at best.
So, when you hear high copper, take some zinc to balance it out, pause right there. Don't do that. Ask the question, why is copper high? Well, it's because it's not loaded into the enzyme because there's no retinol. There was another text, I think.
Yeah, so Greg said Bill Rubin. So Bill Rubin at 1.3 or 1.4 could be caused by...
Oh, Billy Rubin.
Oh, Bill Rubin. Too much iron. One function doctor told me about Bill Rubin, a little high is a good thing. Being a little high is a good thing?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Well, actually, Billy Rubin is an antioxidant. And what Billy Rubin is doing is it's protecting your brain from excess iron. I mean, I studied it now that I know what was going on. And it's not something that you want to encourage, but you shouldn't be frightened of it. But what you want to do is find out, why is my bilirubin high? And what it's usually a sign of is there's turnover of red blood cells. They're supposed to live about 120 days. And when that turnover rate accelerates, there's too many handoffs. It's kind of like Lucille Ball and Ethel at the chocolate factory. Mm-hmm. The conveyor belt starts going faster and faster, and the body can't keep up with that. And it creates oxidative stress. And the body's way of dealing with that increased oxidative stress is to produce bilirubin to protect the brain function.
I gotcha.
So it's a blessing, actually.
Okay. So that's so it can never really be too high, I guess?
It'll be flagged high on the blood test, and that's a marker that something's out of order. And what Morley's saying is it's an antioxidant, so it's raising up to try to protect the body, protect the brain.
I got you. Okay.
It's a sign of disorder, so that's a clue. You need to do something to bring order, and probably it's going to be excess iron. All right, Morley. We got to wrap this thing up.
Absolutely. Great discussion.
We've covered a lot of ground. I think the take-home message is these integrative clinics that are popping up. Morley and I were at a conference in D.C. with an integrative group up there, and it was awesome. They're doing awesome work. These integrative doctors are going to impact a lot of lives, and they're going to be attacking this diet and lifestyle issue and inflammation through various techniques, different supplements and herbs and different techniques. So that's definitely a step in the right direction. What I told the folks at that conference and the leader of that conference, and what I tell everybody, is there's kind of this green version of instead of conventional medicine is pharmaceutical based. You put a man-made chemical in there, which that maybe next week we'll talk about this. But CBD, there's a pharmaceutical company that took one of the CBD chemicals from the hemp plant. I mean, there's thousands of beneficial chemicals in there, and they isolated one, and they patented it, and they're going to make it a drug, and it's going to have very limited benefit, if any, because you need the whole spectrum of the entire plant. You need all the different chemicals. But that's what pharmaceuticals do. They isolate one particular chemical, man-made chemical version of usually a something that was found in nature, and they treat a symptom. Integrative in a lot of ways treats symptoms with more natural products, and what we're saying going to 2.0 is go even deeper than that. This very, very basics, so just get back to living and eating like our great grandparents. get the retinol up, get the copper back, get your stress down, get your high fructose corn syrup out of you. All these basics. Quit eating like a standard American. Quit living like a standard American stress basket. And you will function more healthily like 100 years ago when all these diseases were very, very rare. So that's the summary nutshell one-liner for the show, I'd say. Morley, closing thought.
The only thing I would say is I know everyone's looking for simple. Please eat the foods of your ancestors. Please discipline yourself to find an old cookbook and learn to eat that food.
Fanny Farmer cookbook.
Fanny Farmer or Nourishing Traditions, which is a wonderful book by Weston A. Price. But you know, get your food from a farmer's market and stay on the perimeter of the supermarket and buy nothing in the center of the store. It's a wasteland of toxins.
Yep. I concur. Good advice. Morley, thank you for joining us. First Mondays with Morley, the first Monday of every month. It's great having you with us. Look forward to next month.
Excellent. Well, thanks for the great discussion.
Thanks, Morley. Appreciate that call. And, of course, you can check up and catch up on shows, VeritasMedical.com, You're the Cure. You've been listening to with Dr. Ben Edwards, M.D., Veritas Medical. So be sure and check it all out there. Veritas Medical, also great information about Veritas Medical at the website, VeritasMedical.com. Until next week, You're the Cure. We'll be back next Monday, 9 to 10, right here on AM 580 Radio Lubbock.